Hey, this is Shane Malcolm.
And this is Jordan Schweitzer.
We're the creators of Boot Bags.
Fashionable, durable, washable. Boot Bags are the most convenient way to carry your cleats to and from training or games. Check us out at bootbags.us.
You're listening to the Forest Fancast Podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Big West. I have the dubious pleasure of hosting this episode of Forest Fancast. This is a special episode in that I have the pleasure of talking to someone who I have wanted to have a personal chat with in a while. I guess now I'll just have to do it publicly with you guys. So it is my absolute pleasure to present a rising star in the sports journalism world. He's an official ambassador for MITRE Sports. He's the host of Match Day with Max. He is a lifelong Forest fan. He is someone I get to call a friend now. Max, welcome to the show.
Having me, it's really good to be on. It's really good to do these things, and it's great to speak to you as well. I suppose I can remember a few years ago when you were coming down to the City Ground, we tried to get an interview with you. So I suppose it's good to finally speak online, and it's really good to be on the Forest Fancast as well. I've been on once before with the other guys, and I really enjoyed it, and I do really enjoy doing these podcast type things.
Yeah, awesome. Well, it's glad that our meeting got to come full circle and got to come back around. So one of the things, let's just get like the elephant in the room out of the way up front, right? So I know that when you talk to anybody, they have to always comment on your age and you being a relatively young guy in the game, right? So let's just put it out there. How old are you, Max?
16, Wes. But it's very interesting, actually, that when I was younger, because I started all of this when I started kind of my journey into the journalism world, probably at the age of about 12, 13 wow. years old. So when I used to interview people back then, they used to comment on my age. They still do now.
Sure they do.
But obviously, I've been doing it for that long that I've kind of got used to people commenting on my age anyway. And the question is always asked to me is, oh, you know, it's great. It's cool. All the point that's always said to me is, oh, it's great you're starting early. and I've always thought that I was starting at, you know, at an early age, which I did. So it's almost as if I feel like I should be older than I am because I've been doing it for that long, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's brilliant. So you're a 16-year-old veteran in the game now.
Feels like I've been doing it for so long and watching Forest and not seeing many, shall we say, thrilling Forest moments that maybe I'm just, aging by the day.
I love that. So that's interesting. How did you get started? What kind of sparked your interest in journalism or specifically in sports journalism? How did you get here?
It's always quite an interesting story, and I get asked it a lot, and the story's really the same. Is from an early age, probably from like the age of about 7 or 8 years old, so quite early. I always have different kind of, do I want to do this? With, you know, when you're younger, you're always chopping and changing your career ideas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I went from wanting to be a footballer to talk about football. Mm-hmm. And I always used to watch. I was quite good when I was a lot younger as well. My parents always used to like put the news on, and I always used to watch the news. I was quite when I was younger and I was at school, I used to impress the teachers because I knew quite a lot about like what was going on, so like the current affairs or, you know, different things that I can talk about. And from an early age as well, I think if you ask any of family or friends and people that have known me since I was born, I haven't stopped talking, really. You know, I'm one of those people that loves to talk. I love socializing, and I've always been like that. What sparked it off really was what, because obviously I was a normal Forest fan from the age of about, my first Forest game was when I was 5 years old. Wow. So from about 5 to about 12, I was, you know, just completely normal Forest fan, and you get to the age of 11 and 12, and that's when, you know, I really started to get involved with it. And that was when mates were starting to support all the other big teams like Manchester United, Liverpool, and there was me supporting Forest. And a lot of people where I live as well in the UK would support, you know, teams like Derby, Stoke, and Stoke at the time were in the Premier League. So I was always quite the odd one out. But when I was a normal fan, I went to a Forest game once, and the local East Midlands News, East Midlands Today, BBC East Midlands Today in the UK, were down at the City Ground, and they were doing like a vox pop. They were doing a bit of a piece to camera just about what was happening and how you would rate Forest's season so far in terms of like 1 to 10. And it was me, my brother and my dad, and we all got, and my grandma, and we all got randomly chosen just to go on TV. You know, the reporter came up to us, and I was really good on it. And the reporter actually at the end of it said to me, "Oh, you know, have you ever thought about doing this for a career? Because you speak really well." I said, "No, not really." And then kind of after that, it went, and having that little kind of motivation, I guess, of doing one little TV interview where it wasn't me that was interviewing someone, it was me getting interviewed, it kind of gave me a bit of an inspiration. And the person that interviewed me actually, it's quite a funny story because her name's Angela Rafferty. She's still at the BBC now. And of course, you know, she interviewed me when I was a normal fan. And then about 3 years down the line, she spoke to me when I was doing my Match Day with Max stuff and when I'd, you know, set all of this up. So it was really weird of kind of going from a normal fan, then being interviewed as, I suppose, like you call me, as someone, you know, an aspiring sports journalist or you know, host of Match Day with Max or whatever. So that's what sparked it off, really. And I set up a little YouTube channel. A friend helped me with some graphics. You know, me and my dad built like this microphone board, and it was really budget. It was like full of stickers we'd printed off from the internet, and it was put together with some like sticky tape, and it cost like £5. And then from there, I literally just went, I think my first proper video was when we went to, I think it was Forest. It was at the time when it was all kind of kicking off with the Fawaz stuff, when Fawaz was owner. I did lots of interviews about that. I had I went to a Mansfield Town friendly when Forest played Mansfield the other year in a pre-season friendly. And I can remember interviewing a lot of fans there. And it just went from strength to strength. And then my big break came when kind of Forest reached out to me and saw what I was doing and would have liked to, you know, come down and film a special video, which I did. And then from then, I kind of built up a really good relationship with the club, which enables me to get media access and different bits. And I've just built up a really good community from it. But it's still quite surreal for me now at the age of 16, you know, talking about it still, because it feels like the time's just gone so quick. And it still is surreal because I never thought I'd be, you know, sat in this place. And I'm very lucky because a lot of people haven't had, you know, half the opportunities that I've had. You know, I'd like to say, you know, there's probably a bit of luck with that, but I've also kind of created maybe my own success as well from my hard work, which I've always put into my channel as well.
Yeah, definitely. You can see the hard work come through. I am very impressed with your poise and how you handle yourself. And I have watched kind of the progression of, you know, your videos and kind of how they've matured and they become a really polished product now, right? So, and that's one of the things I'm really interested in, Max, is, you know, you talked about earlier your, how you guys first started off, like you kind of hamstrung a bunch of things together and use, we call it here, baling wire and duct tape, right? You just really kind of had a homegrown process. But now you're stepping up your game, right? You're moving into, let's say, a bigger league when it comes to your production work. And what's that process like for you now, Max? How do you approach, you know, making your episodes now, especially when you look back to how, you know, you had to string stuff together in the past?
It's interesting that, and, you know, it's a very good question, Wes, because the whole kind of professionalism of the channel as well has gone from quite low now to quite high. And like I say, to turning this into a career for myself as well, off the back of I guess you could say, a hobby, which I started as. For me, obviously, if we're excluding what's happening at the moment and when we were allowed to go to games and when we didn't have to distance with the interviews, I'll kind of take you through what it had be normally like on for a Forest game.
Yeah, please do.
However big or however small. So I do put a lot of research into the videos. So people will often think that my introductions, so into the videos, you know, hello everybody and welcome back, that would normally maybe be off the cuff, or it'll just be kind of thought of off the top of my head, but it isn't. And I put a lot of plan into those and make them quite catchy, because they need to kind of just come across really fun and entertaining at the start of the video. And I'd say that I write the intro. I normally start planning if the game was on like a Saturday at 3 o'clock. I'd definitely normally, depending on how busy my week is, and probably at the latest of a Friday morning, I'd always try and maybe plan from like Wednesday, Thursday, leading up to the game in that week, all the way up till Saturday. So normally I'd write my intro, and the first thing I do with my introduction, which I've wrote, is because I have different templates and stuff for writing my notes, is I will always listen to, whether that's a Forest podcast, a general football podcast, or someone that I like to watch in the media industry that's good at interviewing, so I can get inspiration off that while I'm, if you know what I mean, planning. It's a bit like footballers. I know a few footballers that will like listen or watch previous goals that they've scored, or look at the highlights of their games before they play to give them inspiration. And for me, that's what I did. I maybe stick on a few of my old videos. And when I'd be planning, I'd obviously write my introduction. That'd take a little bit of a while to learn, so it isn't just sort of off the top of my head. I have to get it clean and spot on. So there's no auto cue involved or anything like that. It's if I mess up, I go again. And I really like doing that, because it's good for memory as well. I'm always memorizing my intro, and I'm always, you know, thinking of different bits. And for example, what I'll do is I'll write it, and then I'll write it down on a post-it note, and I'll stick it like around the house. So when I'm walking around, I can just look at it and read it and get it. Because I always think that whatever video I'm going to do, as much as I can possibly with the circumstances of it, I always try and put 100% in and go to the video and say, well, look, I've put 100% effort in. If nothing comes out of it, nothing comes out of it. But that's the least that I could do. And I've always thought of that. There's also, of course, the planning, the interview questions. And now I've got a really good loyal kind of, I guess you could say, base of people to interview, that I have a bit of like a spreadsheet with everyone's name on, and I'll rotate them on different games. We'll schedule them in. You know, I always try to keep quite a decent schedule in terms of, I'll organise to interview like an away fan and an opposing supporter at 2 o'clock. Then I'll interview a Forest fan or a Forest celebrity guest, or someone from Sky, like at 12. Of course, and normally it's very difficult, because I've been to lots of games, and this has happened a lot in the past year, where nothing's planned. So it's really, there's no plan around it. For example, I know you mentioned my work with Mitre. I went to Rochdale, Newcastle with Mitre in the FA Cup. It was actually this time last year, really. And we spot the perfect opportunity to interview Steve Bruce. And there's a bit of a story behind that. But I interviewed Steve Bruce, and that wasn't planned at all. You know, the questions were literally just thought off the top of my head, because it had never, you know, crossed my mind that I was going to interview Steve Bruce. So it was just kind of, I had one shot at it because he was in a rush. If I messed it up, I messed it up. And that's where I guess the pressure comes onto you. But no, so in terms of planning, there's a lot of planning that goes on. I have numerous stat books with all Forest stats on. I can tell you who scored the most goals for Forest in such a season. I can tell you when the last time a Forest player got sent off, and then Forrest went on to win the game. You know, there's so many stats I have, and there's so many different documents that I keep, and I guess a bit geeky, but I also love the planning side of things. I guess you could say the theory side, rather than the practical, of the theory of planning match day with Max, whether that's producing a thumbnail, editing the video of the post-production and during production, and writing notes and researching stats. And it's been quite difficult to move away from Forrest. And when I'm doing, as a neutral kind of interviewer, a normal interview, when I'm going and doing Mitre games like Rochdale and Newcastle, I mentioned there, that it's quite difficult sometimes to get the amount of research I could put into Forest. But that's, you know, that's research is found on the, you know, different websites, and I always put 100% effort in. So that's been a challenge of finding new stats for new teams. That's kind of the main production process, I guess you could say, before the game.
Yeah, that's amazing, because I want people, and one of the reasons I was really keen to ask you that is because I want people to understand the amount of preparation that it takes to bring a Match Day with Max forward. And one of the things that, to your credit, Max, I will say is the people who are best at this type of stuff make it look easy, right? So you make it look super effortless, like you're just up there talking and having a good time when there's a ton of work that went into making that video happen. So thank you for bringing that to us, because I definitely wanted people to understand the amount of preparation that goes behind that. One of the things that also strikes me, and absolutely one of the things that also strikes me, is I know that, you know, from time to time doing your interviews, right, you have to have run into some adversity, right? Something has to, a crazy drunk fan tries to run through your scene, or, you know, something goes not as planned. I'm really interested to hear about, you know, a time when you've had to deal with a bit of either adversity or just something unexpected and crazy that's happened. Because I imagine, you know, things like that that you didn't plan for happen from time to time, right?
Definitely. It happens more than often, especially at football games. I've had numerous drunk people on videos putting their arms around me, telling me that they love me. I've had numerous things of people in the background doing funny things. It's very difficult because I've always had the aspect of keeping, and I always have and will do, you know, till I kind of eventually bring it to a close, is that I will always make the videos as PG as possible, because I know I have a lot of kids that watch it and you know, are quite a big family audience. But it's quite difficult when you're at football games and you're doing a bit to camera at the end of the game with the fans in the background and they're chanting, and it could be a bit of a rude chant, or it's aimed at a player or aimed at a referee, and I'm sure we'll let the viewers think of what those chants could be. But it's quite difficult to have those zoned out, and also while you're doing it, not only in editing trying to maybe cut some of it out, but also when you're doing it and you have that in your ears whilst trying to think of what to say and do it to camera, is it's maybe sometimes hard to keep a straight face. And there's numerous of times, you know, when I've done an introduction on a football pitch and something's just made me laugh in my head, and I've just had this laughing fit. You know, you see on the TV, I don't know if you've ever watched Wes on, like, for example, it's a big program in the UK, is This Morning, which is presented by Phil and Holly, and they're always, you know, it's a number one morning program, and they have different guests in, and those two have laughing fits live on the TV for like 15 minutes straight, and they can't get out of them. So you know, things from time to time do go wrong, whether that's a messed up interview, a messed up scenario, like you say, you know, somebody drunk running in front of the scene, and you just have to take it on the chin and go again. And I think that's what makes it funny, and it adds to the whole experience of it. I really, you know,
oh absolutely,
so it's fantastic, and I just love doing it. You know, it's so much fun. It's always been fun. You know, I always say that to people when they ask for advice, is have fun when you're doing it. If you're not having fun, then maybe that's the time to reconsider what you're doing. And I've always had fun, you know, 99.9% of the time.
Yeah, Bruce. So what I took away from your answer was, if I see you working, I'm not to run up and throw my arms around you. Is that right?
Fair, Wes. I don't know. If you do ever see me working, then you can 100% come in the shot. I wouldn't be bothered, because it would just add to the video, and we just continue. And we'd bring you into the interview. I'd just have to think on the spot. Wes is here. What do I ask him?
All right, you heard it here, ladies and gentlemen. Max said it's okay for me to crash his next scene. All right, awesome. So, Max, speaking of having fun, right, and enjoying it, a couple of things I'm curious about, like more on a more personal side. First of all, like, you know, we talked about adversity. We talked about your preparation and things that you have to go through. There has to be some perks to being you, right? There has to be some cool things about freaking being Max, right? And about running Match Day with Max. What are some of the, like, cooler perks that you get to experience just by virtue of what you do?
The coolest perk that even my brother laughs at and sometimes is a little bit, I guess you could say, jealous of it is maybe before the games is being around the behind the scenes environment, because everyone thinks that some people who are normal fans that go to football clubs think it's very, you know, smoothly run all the time, and behind the scenes before a big game, it's quite serious. Well, no, that's not the case. And there's so many staff at Forest that you won't or you won't hear about that make the club so brilliant. And for me, when I go and do behind the scenes things at Forest, those people, you know, are brilliant, and we have such a laugh with them off camera. You know, for one instance, I've really grown a fantastic relationship with a kind of head safeguarding guy at Forest who looks after all kind of the stewards and is on the pitch. Like, you'll never see him in front of the camera and no one will know his name. But for me, he makes match day with Max, because every time I go and do media access when times were normal and I was able to go on the pitch and things and everything like that, I would see him and we'd have a chat and we'd have a laugh and we'd talk about the result and we'd joke about something. And it's also the case of, it was one time I was doing a Forest video when I was filming an introduction, just, you know, minding my own business, and the players walked out in the background for just, in, you know, like they do sometimes, inspect the pitch and everything when they just arrived off the coach. And I'd finished my, just finished my intro. I had someone tap me on the shoulder, you know, turn around and tap me on the shoulder. It was Ryan Yates. And Ryan said to me, he went, "Oh, I'm ever so, he said, "Max, I'm ever so sorry to interrupt you, but I'm a really big," he said, "I'm a really big fan of
no way.
Max."
No
way. Honestly. And I went, "Well, Ryan, to be honest, mate, I'm a really big fan of you as well." And he was like, "Brilliant," because he was like, "Oh, I'm so sorry to interrupt, Max, but, you know, keep up the great work with the videos." And I didn't even instigate that chat. He literally came over to me and we had a photo and we were having a chat for about 15 minutes. And it's just little moments like that, like you said, Wes. That was when, you know, you go home and you look back at it, or just in the moment you're thinking, it really is good to, I guess to be me. And that's a massive perk of it. And another perk is doing things and having, I mean, it is still amazing me to the day why anybody would want this. But when I'm at Forest games and a lad comes up or a kid, and he'll come up and he'll say, you know, "Oh, Max, I'm a big fan of your videos, you know, can I have a photo?" And it's yes, you want a photo with me? It's crazy, isn't it, Wes? And I'm sure, actually, to be honest, Wes, I know this podcast is obviously asking me questions, but I'm sure you've maybe had that before, you know, because you're quite popular on the Forest Twitter and you're quite popular in the Forest fan base. You could be even more popular than me, Wes.
Nah, no way, but I know exactly what you're talking about. When I first came to Nottingham, my first time, and people would stop me and ask to take a picture with me, I almost had a full-on panic attack. I didn't even know how to handle it, man. So I totally get where you're coming from. I was at a Goose Fair. And I guess you would say a copper, right? A policeman came up and he stopped and I'm going to do my terrible British accent right now. And he says, "Excuse me." He said, "Are you that big West chap from America?" And I said, "Yeah, that's me." And he says, "You mind if we get a picture?" And I told him, I said, "Yeah, fine. But the last time a cop asked me to take a picture, it wasn't under these circumstances," right? And we had a good laugh about it. But it was amazing. I totally get, like, that wonderment that you feel when somebody asks you to take a picture. It can be a little off-putting, right? And I don't know that you sound like a pretty humble fellow, so I don't know that we ever get used to that, but it sure is fun.
It is, and I think that I've always tried to remain humble, and it's really weird because when I've gone to games with mates or family members that know what I do but have never really been to a Forest game before, it's, for example, my mum doesn't come to games as often, but, you know, we sometimes drag her along, you know, and she'll come with us, and I'll be asked for a photo and she'll find it really nice and she'll be like, "Oh, that's so nice," and everything, and because she's my mum, and that's brilliant.
Of course.
And it is weird.
That's awesome.
I've had things before, like, "Oh, Max, my little brother's a massive fan of you. Can you send him, like, a birthday message, like,
oh,
a video?" Or, you know, I was one of the nicest things that I do in terms of, like, every year, which I hope might go ahead in the next few months, depending on what happens with COVID. But I go to kind of a kids' football event. So in Nottingham, there's grassroots football. So where all the kids, young kids play football, and they have a big kind of event for it, presentation at the Royal Concert Hall in Nottingham, the theatre in Nottingham. And there's like 1,000 kids each time. They have different sittings. And I present the day, so, you know, read out all the names, and I interview the special guest. And, you know, we had the special guest last time. We had Jordan Smith. We've had Guy Moussy before. Joe Worrell's done it. Chris Cohen, Andy Reid, you know, Colin Barrett, all the quite famous Forest people. We've had Kenny Burns, you know, I suppose you could say the Miracle Man as well. And that's fantastic. And I really enjoy that because kids will be asking for interviews. Kids will be asking for photos there. Because obviously they kind of know me, and especially if they're Forest fans. So that's one of my favourite events to do. But no, it's interesting when you say that, that was about kind of your experience of getting photos. But going back to your question, there is so many perks to being me. And sometimes whenever you do have a negative, or whenever you do have a setback, you know, you'll remember those perks and you'll remember the positive moments, which then I guess outweigh the negatives, and that's what kind of I've always said to me, is make sure the positives outweigh the negatives, and the perks do as well.
100%. Thank you for that. So let's do this, my friend. Let's kind of look forward now. We have a match coming up this Saturday, right, against Barnsley, and it's an away match, and this podcast probably will drop after the game. I'm sorry, it'll drop a little bit after the game. So I want to hear what your predictions are. So when we get the results of the match and this podcast drops, we can kind of see just how much of a tactician you are. So I want to do two things with you. Just kind of see what your fantasy lineup based on, you know, what our roster is now. Who would you put on the pitch to start the match? And then what's your prediction for the outcome? So let's start with how you would arrange the squad for this Saturday against Barnsley.
We've had an international break. So I guess the last game we played was, of course, that fantastic result over Wickham. It feels like ages ago since we played. My lineup, I would honestly keep the same team, really. The usuals in there, I'd keep Samba, Christie, Figueiredo, McKenna, Rivera. I think that back four that played against Wickham is really starting to gel now. I'd like to see Knockout again start. I don't know about So, it depends on his fitness. I know there's been more worry about his injury again, so maybe Yates to come in for him. Colback definitely to still play. Amiobi or Lolly, now that's one whether you'd switch that again. Instead of maybe playing Taylor, or if we maybe went two up top and put a kind of a number nine before the strike, I'd maybe like to see Guerrero get a bit of a better start. I thought he was really good in the last game. Him and Taylor up top were really good. And in terms of the subs, I'd like to see the usual. I'd like to see Mighton maybe back on the subs bench as well. I know he's been left out as well because of under-23's duties. For me, the lineup's got to stay pretty much the same to make sure it's consistent enough. And I think Chris Hughton's such an experienced manager that he's probably not going to change it a lot. I mean, it'd be interesting to see because, you know, anything could have happened over this international break. I know that Harry Arthur's actually picked up an injury, I think, from Ireland, which is a shame. Yeah. So fingers crossed, you know, he starts or he'll be on the bench to try and get back to full fitness. But in terms of my final predicted result, I mean, it's Barnsley. Yeah. They're a little bit of a bogey team. I don't think I've ever seen Forest beat Barnsley, actually. Because we're being positive, Wes, I'll say 2-1 to Forest, 2-1.
Yeah, and it's hard, if we're honest, right, Max, you never want to come on and say Forest is going to lose a match, right? You never want to predict that. So it's always hard to get your predictions. You have to stay positive with the whole thing. I think I'll roll with you, though, 2-1. Every single time I get the pleasure of being on a Fancast, I always rally or always like try to put mojo in for Amiobi to bag one. So come on, Amiobi. I need you in the back of the net this game, because the last few times I have predicted you'll grab one, and every prediction I have for him grabbing one, it has not happened yet. But I'm feeling all the positive vibes from you, Max. We're going to make this one happen. All right, so 2-1, we agree on that.
Definitely. And I was going to say, I'd like to see a few more people get on the score sheet as well. I'd like to see Lau Taylor get another goal and maybe Guerrero as well. I'd like to see him go.
Brilliant. Yes. All right. So we've come up to the point where we like to play a little game, Max, and it's called Box to Box. And for those uninitiated, for those who have not played this game, the way that it works is I give you 90 seconds and you have I have a set of questions, trivia questions, that you can choose from. I have home questions and away questions. You can choose which question that you would like. Every home question that you get, you answer correctly, you get 1 point. For every away question, which could be about any league anywhere, anything football related, any league anywhere, you get 3 points. The catch is, if you miss a question, then you get 1 point or 3 points deducted. At the end, we see how many points you amassed, and we'll see how you did in box to box.
The pressure's on.
That's right. No pressure. It's all family here. We're all going to have fun. A little bit of pressure, yes. All right. So I'll start the clock, and you tell me if you want a home question or away question. Remember, they are 1 and 3 points, respectively. Are you ready to play?
I am ready than I'll ever be, Wes.
Your 90 seconds will start now. Home or away?
Home.
The current badge that Forrest wears, it was started in 1974. What badge did Forrest, what was on Forrest's badge before that?
No idea. Was it crossed arms? I've got no idea, Wes.
Close. It was the city of Nottingham arms. It was the city arms of Nottingham.
That was it, yeah.
Yes, oh, all right. Home or away?
Away.
Away. All right. Forrest won the Euro Cup twice. Which club has won the Euro Cup more than any other?
Real Madrid.
Very good. +3. Hey. Home or away?
We'll go away again.
Forrest are on the River Trent. Name two other British stadiums that are on or very close to water.
There's the Riverside Stadium of Middlesbrough near the Tees. Good. And we can have also, could we say Meadow Lane, Notts County?
You can say that. That works. Awesome. Home or away?
We'll go home this time.
Brian Clough was a lethal striker, of course. What position did Pete Taylor play?
Was it midfielder?
Nope. He was a goalkeeper. Home or away?
we'll go away because I seem to be doing better with those.
All right. This is a good one. Major League Soccer, MLS, right, in America is expanding to 30 teams by 2023. Name three cities that have MLS teams. And this is your last question.
New York.
Yes.
Washington.
Yes. Kind of.
Trying to think of just any American cities.
Where the hell am I from, Max? Come on.
Texas.
Max. Atlanta. I'm in Atlanta.
Come on, Max. Oh, I should do better.
That's okay.
Let's see. People are going to downgrade my football knowledge.
You ended up with a combined 3 points, Max. So you did good. Well, listen, Max, it has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you from the bottom of my heart, man. I want to wish you good luck in the future. I know you got a bright future ahead. And just keep doing great work, man, and look forward to seeing the things that you're going to do for yourself and for the rest of your family in the future, man.
Defo, Wes, thanks very much for having me on as well. Best wishes to you all in America. And fingers crossed we'll see you soon down at the City Ground.
Definitely.
Rubbish is over. But
yeah.
Thank you very much, Wes, and I really appreciate your kind words. It's great to do things like this.
Absolutely. Stay safe in the meantime. And as always, we end our podcast with our salute. So 3, 2, 1,
you Reds!